We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
WGR Sports Radio 550 presents.
Like, let's give him all the reps in training camp, get him as ready as possible. Can't you just throw your, when you have a child, can't you just throw him into the pool and then they just, like, they inherently know how to swim? Isn't that a thing?
Sports Talk Saturday.
What you're describing sounds like child abuse.
On WGR.
I think what ends up happening is Joe probably threw Louie in the pool as a child watched him suffer. And was like, don't worry, Mom, he'll learn how to swim. And, you know.
Sports Radio 550.
Nate's imitation of young me is still, every time I hear it, it just gets worse and worse and worse and worse and worse.
Don't worry, Mom, he'll know how to swim.
We're back again. 3 days in a row. We're just, you know, hanging out here.
Chugging along.
Yeah. Sports Talk Saturday, Joe DiBiase and Lou DiBiase. We can't really call it Two Bros Live because the show actually has a name.
Right.
It's Sports Talk Saturday. Derek's here again. And, Derek, you know, one thing that we did not do. In fact, Lou, why don't you pull up the NFL standings?
Okay.
Derek, why don't you pull up some football music? Because there's something that we did not do yesterday that I wanted to get to. By the way, 803-0550 is the phone number. We're going to be taking your calls.
Do you want
Bills
division standings?
Today.
Do you want just league standings?
League,
doesn't matter.
Standings. I'm just going to need to know the teams.
Okay.
We're going to talk to Chad DeDominicus at noon. We'll talk some Sabres with him. I'm really liking the graphs and charts that he's putting out on Twitter during the games. He's really into the numbers right now.
And I'm liking
the log line.
Oh, we got to get into that.
This guy gets
so
it.
At DiBiase LOE, my brother put up a poll. What should we call the it's the log line, though, right? I think it's settled.
Thank you.
54, like, out of 1,300 people right now, 54% say log line.
Brayton,
I want goal.
I'm
not calling it the log line.
Brayton and I had a nice little rabble this morning as he says that it's important that it has to be based on the lineup chart.
So from left wing to right wing?
But I think that's dumb, and you rob things like
so
the
that would
REO
be glow,
line
right?
for
Yeah,
Reinhart, Eichel, and Olofsson.
Pominville, Eichel, and Skinner were the J. Crew line. Mm. Like that doesn't have anything to do
Everybody's
with where
saying,
they're lined up.
Roaring Twenties is a popular one now.
Yeah, that's what Brian Duff came up with yesterday on Twitter. I like Roaring Twenties. The only reason I don't like goal line is because even though this line is playing really well, this is not a line that's going to – you're not going to be able to hold up calling them the goal line. They're not going to score enough.
They had two yesterday.
They had two – yeah, but – That's not going to keep up. There's no way.
They are the log line. They bring the lumber.
The glow line's okay. I think the log line is perfect, though, because, you know, like, they're kind of gritty.
Nobody's a fan of Ogle.
OGL. Nobody was.
6%.
Gonna. You should have put Roaring Twenties in
that. Who is that
part?
6%? What's 6% of 1,300? We're talking like 100 people, 90 people?
Probably, yeah.
We're talking guys that eat Miracle Whip with, like, peanut butter sandwiches, okay?
The trolls with no profile picture in their Twitter accounts
What's
is who
sandwich?
Voted for OGL.
What's this monstrosity you just created? What?
I didn't create it. It was told to me yesterday.
Peanut butter
when
and
I was,
Miracle Whip?
Yeah, it was like peanut butter bananas.
Before I really get, like, I don't have it strong.
Jeremy unfortunately ruined that one with me when I was in the morning show with them. Yesterday.
So I got a couple things I want to bring up about the Bills, a couple things about the Sabres. We'll talk to Chad at noon talking about the Sabres. But first, me and Derek, every year, we go through our over-unders. We bet each other. We do the entire league. We pick the over or the under for every team. Derek seems to like to take pushes more than I do. I don't think I've ever taken a push.
I'm aggressive.
Doesn't make any sense. You have to land on the number.
Yeah,
but anyways,
if you have a conviction of what you think a team is going to have for a record, why not?
Because odds will tell you that. Oh, never mind.
Doesn't seem like a smart strategy, but okay.
It's a bold strategy,
to say the least.
It doesn't pay off.
So,
I didn't take nearly as many this year. I think I only took one.
You know, I just had them, and now I can't find them.
Nice job.
So this is going well.
Great.
We're off the rails already.
Riveting radio to start
Derek,
off.
You don't have them anywhere, do you?
No. I don't keep track of these things.
Well, I do remember one. Let's start with one. Arizona Cardinals, 5.5. I had the over. He had the under. Lou, what are the Arizona Cardinals, and what do you think of that?
I would side towards Derek. They are 1-3-1 right now. Tough division. Three teams over 500. I would agree with Derek.
That they go under?
Yeah, I think they're under five.
Now, they have a tie, but what we determined is, that tie could make it a push and could make it so that we both
lose. Actually land on 5.5, and therefore we would both lose, because that's how it rolls in Vegas.
Yeah. Let's start with the lowest numbers and then go up. So Miami was 5, and we both took the under. So that's
hilarious.
Okay.
They're 0-4, I'd imagine.
We already did Arizona.
Somehow that line was 5.
Oakland's over-under total at the beginning of the season was 6. We both took the under. That's not looking great.
Uh-oh.
But no one's going to get an advantage there.
Yeah, they're 3-2 already.
The Giants at 6. We both had under.
Yep, that one's good.
Smart call.
What are they? 2-3?
Two and four at this point now, Thursday night.
I don't know, man. The Giants could.
Not everybody can be 6-10, 7-9. There's got to be some 3-win teams.
Yeah, Miami.
Yeah.
Cincinnati was 6. I took the over, and you took the under. That's going to be a feather.
Yeah,
in
that's going to be under.
That's going to be tough. They're 0-5.
They're 0-5 right now, yeah.
Washington at 6.5. We both took the under.
Yeah, that's a good call. There.
Tampa Bay at 6.5, we both took the under.
I think you guys are both going to be wrong on that.
Yeah. On Tampa?
Yeah.
What's their record?
2-3.
They scream 7-9.
They really do.
The Detroit Lions over-under was 6.5. We both took the under.
Yeah, that's an ouch.
Well, considering our bet yesterday.
Well, now I'm going to even out on that.
You'll win at least one.
I'm now a believer in the
Coward
Lions.
Coward is what I call that.
The Bills at 7, we both took over. That's already almost there.
Yeah
you've got that in the bag.
Got that in the bank. Couple, they might as well be 7-1, right? Can we just consider the Bills 7-1? They play Miami twice in Washington.
Yes.
I'm not even giving them the Denver game, and they're 7-1.
Right.
Yeah.
It's fun to think about.
Yeah, you could even argue they could be 9-2.
Yeah. The Jets at 7.5. We both took the over.
Oof.
Why did you guys? I was never into the Jets hype even when they were healthy.
You know what?
If Darnold was healthy all season, I think they're an 8-win team.
Yeah, I still don't think they are.
I think my reasoning was those two are going to beat up on Miami so bad because they're so terrible, and then the rest of the schedule looks okay.
This one was looking good at the beginning of the season, not so much now. Lou, I'm going to need the record because I don't know it off the top of my head. Carolina, 7.5 was their win total.
Carolina,
we both took the under.
Carolina's 3-2. I think you guys are going to be wrong on that one.
Mm-hmm. It's tough.
Defense is legitimate.
It could happen 7-9. We would need them to be 7-9.
I don't know. Even without Cam Newton, if he doesn't even come back this year,
especially without Cam Newton.
You're one of the Kyle Allen truthers?
Well, I mean, they're 4-0 with Kyle Allen in his last 4 games. They're 0-8 with Cam in their last 8 games with Cam.
Because he has had a terrible ankle and a shoulder injury for 2 years now.
The problem is that...
But should I expect that that's just going to magically
get better? Well, if he comes back healthy... If we're talking about if he's...
But I don't think he's going to come back.
Okay, fine. From a health perspective, but we're not actually saying... Some people are arguing that Kyle Allen should be the starter going forward.
If Cam Newton's Newton's ankle is not healthy, Kyle Allen should be the starter.
No, some people are just talking about based from a schematic, from a talent perspective. Like performance, not injuries.
Yeah, well, it depends. If you think Cam Newton is shot and he's never going to be what he used to be athletically and physically, then
used to be. I don't know if anybody's watched Kyle Allen the last 2 weeks, but if you have, your mind will change pretty quick.
But if you take away Cam Newton's athleticism, he is not a starting quarterback.
I think he's still better than Kyle
the
Allen.
The problem is Christian McCaffrey exists, and Atlanta's underachieving, so we're both probably
wrong.
Oh,
I agree with you. Look, I picked the Panthers to make the NFC title this year, so I think they're going over.
I think that's crazy. The NFC title.
Not
with Kyle Allen, I agree, but
they're better with Kyle Allen right now.
All right. Let's
Jacksonville at 8. I had the over. Derek had the under.
That's going to be tight.
What was the line? Wait,
8.
What was it? 8?
It's going to be close.
That's going to be close.
That's going to go down to the wire.
Wow, Derek, you ready for us to both look like idiots here?
We picked Atlanta to go over?
Nope, San Francisco at 8. We both picked the under.
Yikes.
Whoa, that's going to be way
already
off.
4-0.
That's just as bad.
Yeah, that's brutal.
Tennessee at
brutal.
8.
Ooh.
We both have the under.
Oh,
I would have said over at the beginning of the season. I think under is going to be right, though. I mean, not everybody in the AFC South can be right, because if you think the Jaguars are going to be, and Houston, and me and you were talking about Indianapolis yesterday on the show, someone's got to be bad in that division eventually.
Right.
You'd imagine.
So far, for me,
it's Tennessee.
So far, the only real clear advantage right now is Derek. You're up by 1, I would say, for the most part, because a couple teams we don't really know, like Arizona, and there was another one. Jacksonville.
There's the one clear cut.
Cincinnati.
Yeah, it's the Bengals.
That one's the only clear cut in your favor right now.
Thank you, Bengals.
And I don't have one.
Well, you took over on the Bengals?
Yeah.
And what was the...
6.5, or 6. We did that. Houston at 8.5. We both have the over.
Smart call.
That'll still going to go down the wire.
Seattle at 8.5. We both have the over.
Yep. I'm a proponent of the Seahawks.
Okay.
I would have picked under, so you guys are Looking smart.
Baltimore at 8.5. We both took the under.
Ouch.
That doesn't look good.
I think they could win that division at 8-8.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they'll go 8-8, though.
I think they go better than that now.
I don't even think they're playing that well, and they're still 3-2.
Because of their schedule.
And their division's bad.
And because Roethlisberger's
it's not going away.
If think about it. If
you still get to play the Bengals twice.
If there was a competent quarterback at all, like an average quarterback playing for the Steelers last week, Baltimore loses that football game. 100%. They squeaked by Devlin Hodges. He's a training camp arm. Like, really? He was a training camp arm, and now he's playing.
From Sanford.
From Sanford, you're right.
Not Stanford.
Here's one that I think I'm going to have the advantage in. Atlanta at 8.5. Derek, you had the over. I had the under.
Ooh, I picked them to make the playoffs, too.
Not like this.
Yeah, Atlanta's been one of the biggest disappointments this year. 1-4.
Dang it.
Yeah, you're going to lose that one, bud.
Oh, yeah, that's
for
bad.
Sure.
Dallas at 9. We both had the under.
Good call.
Atlanta,
I think you're going to win that one.
What are they at?
Dallas right now is 3-1. No.
3-2?
3-2, sorry.
I'm not,
yeah,
I'm
they've
not,
lost the last two.
I'm not loving that. I'm not, maybe.
Last time they played two good teams. They beat up on who? The Dolphins, Jets, and Giants the first 3 weeks, and now
they
played two good defenses
twice,
in there.
That's
not,
bad.
Yeah. Still got to play the Eagles twice. They got to play the Patriots still.
Mm-hmm.
Minnesota,
yeah, I'm taking the under.
At 9. We both had the under.
That'll probably pan out because Minnesota has a 537 opponent strength of schedule for the rest of the year. Kirk Cousins can't beat teams over 500.
True.
It's true. He's like 6-27 all time against teams over 500.
We should feel good about Minnesota here.
Here's where I take the lead. Pittsburgh at 9. I have the under. You have the over.
That damn injury.
Yeah, nothing you can do about that.
I saw it coming. Yeah. I saw it coming.
Yeah, I'm just sure.
Just kidding. I didn't love Pittsburgh coming into the year, though. I think their defense is not that great. I thought they were going to take a hit without Antonio Brown because the receivers, I like Juju. I love Juju. Behind him, though, just did not like their receivers.
Say what
and
you
Alex,
want about,
to be fair,
yeah.
Right now, that they would have. I would think differently about that right now. It's the quarterback, I think, that is the reason they stink.
Mm-hmm.
Deontay Johnson, their third-round pick, out of he played at a MAC school. I forgot where. Maybe Toledo.
I think it was Toledo. Yes.
He's small and but he's quick. He's fast and he gets open. And I think he's a good receiver. Like I think he's going to be a starting receiver for them for a long time.
Say what you want about James Conner, but he's not the difference maker Le'Veon Bell is either.
No,
he's a solid.
James
back.
Washington hasn't panned out. They were assuming that because the Steelers have this awesome track record of developing receivers, that all these young guys like Deontay Johnson were going to come on the scene.
And he kind of is right now. I think if they had a quarterback, Deontay Johnson,
yeah,
they're
injuries
really
under
season.
Center.
Really
Washington's
been
a disappointment.
No, he has definitely been a disappointment. But Johnson, I think, is good.
I don't think Juju's a
Connor. By the way, I want to give Connor a bit of a break because I never thought he was as good as Le'Veon Bell. But I do think he's a good running back. He has been dealing with a knee injury all season.
He's good enough. Honestly.
I don't want to really take into account too much of what he's done. His knee is it's screwed up right now.
I think
and
people
Jalen
assumed
Samuels
though,
hurt, so he has to keep playing through.
I think people assumed though Connor would just come in and be he's just as good as Le'Veon.
Because last year he was better. Last year with James Conner, they were more efficient than they ever were with Le'Veon Bell.
I don't think.
And that was just the argument that, hey, the replaceability. But this year, that has not been the story. But I want to
He's
I
nowhere
think that
near
a lot
the threat.
Of it,
defenses don't fear James Conner at all like they fear Le'Veon Bell.
And that's fair, but he's at least good enough to be the starting running
back.
Yeah,
I'm just saying. I don't think he's – and without Big Ben, that team's
–
I think he's an above-average running back when he doesn't have the knee injury he's got.
I think he's average.
And that works for them.
It's that confounded AFC North.
Don't forget – he was a first-round graded talent before he missed a year of college football.
Mm-hmm.
He was a talented running back. Where do we leave off? Pittsburgh, Green Bay at 9. We both have the over.
Yep, that's going to be a good one.
That's a good one.
I think they're one of the top seeds in the NFC this year.
I have them in the Super Bowl right now.
I had them as the one that's seed fair. Heading in, so I like that one. Yeah, take the
I
over
had,
for sure.
I wish Luck was here because I had Green Bay and Indy in the Super Bowl, and if Luck's healthy, I think the Colts are the best team.
Oh, what happened
right
with that?
What did you
for
have
us?
At the Colts? Do you know?
I think we
What's
both
that?
Took the over.
Yeah, we'll get there. They're they were high.
Yeah,
Derek. No,
that's
Derek
right. They had a lot
over,
of hype heading into
time.
The Ooh. Lot of hype heading into the season.
Cleveland at 9. I had the over. Derek had the under. I'm not giving up on that though. That's not over. That could be a push.
Derek's
that
gonna
could.
Win that one.
That could be a push.
It's gonna be close.
Chicago at 9. I have the over. Derek has a push. So they'd have to land right on 9 wins for Derek to win that.
I kind of like that.
What's their record?
Unfortunate.
Chicago's 3-2 right now.
Oh, that is unfortunate.
They scream 9-7.
But with Trubisky, they scream worse than that.
Just get that one extra win.
Do they?
It could be one less win. You really can just cheer for anything else.
Other than 9. Anything other than 9.
Yeah.
What happened? Yeah, that's right.
Because you might lose it anyway, but 9 means I lose
it. That was bold going with the push there.
It was.
There'll be another one.
Why is Trubisky so terrible?
Chargers at 9.5. We both had the over. That's not looking great right now.
I would have agreed with you both. They're 2-3 now.
I'm leaving the possibility open to that still happening, though. They're capable of going on a run.
So it seems right now the biggest descents are from Cleveland, Pittsburgh, and Cincinnati right now. And then, of course, Atlanta.
Philly at 10. I have the under. Derek, you have the over. What's their record?
They're 3-2 right now. They have a... It's a really tough 6-game stretch here. Then, though, they get to play the Giants twice. They get to play Miami, Washington.
That could be like almost the NFC North, where the division winner could be like 9-7.
You could win it at 9-7. I don't think they're going to go 9-7.
I picked that. Yeah. Before the season, I picked the Eagles to win the NFC East at 9-7.
That'll be close.
At 10.5?
No, 10.
10?
10.
So I'm probably going to take the...
Right now?
I take the over right now. It's
you
close,
think they get to
though.
11? What's more likely? They get to 9 or they get to 11?
I'd say 11 right now.
Quite honestly, their loss to Atlanta probably killed me.
Yeah, that one was brutal.
Indy at 10. Indy at 10. I have the over. Derek has a push. So they'd have to land right on 10. I need them to get to 11.
These damn pushes.
Why are you going for these pushes? They're 3-2.
Okay.
Oh,
it's because I'm bold.
I would go over. There's got to be a third good team in the AFC this year.
It does it really.
The Bills.
Everyone's going 9-7.
The Bills.
Yeah, the Bills.
The Bills are going to be 10 or 11, maybe.
The Bills are going to be 11-5.
How did they not get there? It's amazing. The schedule. It's amazing. I love it.
It's a gimme.
The Saints at 10.5. We both have the over. That's looking good, I think.
Love it. 3-0 without Breeze.
The Rams at 10.5. We both have the over.
I'm going to take the under on that.
Kansas City at 10.5. We both have the over.
Yeah, that'll be fine.
4-1.
Then New England at 11. You have the over. I have under.
Put under on 11?
I didn't think they were getting to 12. I still don't think they get to 12.
6-0.
Are you sure?
They're 6-0. Who have they beat?
I don't like that argument for the Patriots.
I know.
I don't like that argument against the Bills or against the Cowboys.
I don't like that argument for them not winning the AFC
they're
East.
About
like,
to be they're 7-0.
They're going
they're
to win the AFC
the Jets.
East. I'm not listen. That
don't
could,
tell
that
me
they get the
Jets.
Dolphins again still. So you're
do
at least
not,
at 8.
Do not even try to tell me they're going to lose to the Jets.
It's arguable. This is their toughest game of the season.
Oh, really high bar that they set there.
Wait, look.
No, but that's what I'm saying. On the road, Jets. This is like it's funny, but this is one of the tougher games
they've
had all season.
So even if they do
pathetic.
Drop, there's a tough stretch there.
Their next six games are tough.
They play Baltimore, Philly, Dallas, Houston, and Kansas City in a 5-week span.
Yeah.
Even if they lose 4 of the 5, which I can't imagine.
No. Like, let's
then
say
they play
lose
Cincinnati,
3.
Miami, and Buffalo. They're going at least 12-4.
Unless the
they're
Bills,
not losing
the Bills
4 of those 5
them.
Games.
The Bills are going 11-5 and losing the AFC.
The Bills would have to beat New England. The Chiefs would have to beat New England.
Look, I think they're going
to
roll through the Jets this week.
And they'd have to drop 2 of Cleveland, Baltimore, Philly, Dallas. That's not crazy. It's probably not going to happen, but it's not crazy.
I'm actually saying, wow. Thank goodness I hate the Patriots enough that I picked the over.
You think they get to 12?
Well, I mean, look, they're going to beat the Jets and the Browns in the next 2 weeks, so that's 8. I think they beat the Dolphins, that's 9. They beat Cincinnati, that's 10. I think they beat Buffalo, that's 11. Then all they have to do is win one game between the Chiefs, Texans, Eagles, Cowboys, and Ravens. They're not losing all those games.
I want to see what they look like against a real team that's not the Bills.
Oh, I do too, but...
I think they're going to...
Well, in terms of debating whether they're, you know, like the
what?
AFC
are you
going to
say they're not
or...
Super Bowl contenders this year?
No, I'm not saying that, but I'm saying whether they're the New England that gets in at like 11 wins and, you know, like when Kansas City has all this hype last season.
I don't think they even have to look great against all those good teams. They got to win one or two of them.
Or are they the 07 Patriots? Like, are they on that level? Are they just like clearing away the best team in
to
the league?
To get to 12, though,
close.
They don't have to be that. You're going to have to win one
those
or two games of those 5 matchups. They're not losing 4 or 5.
Yeah, they're not losing 4
Come
or 5.
On.
They could
it's
lose
4
or 5.
They're not losing
between
4 or
between the
five.
Bills, Chiefs, Texans, Cowboys, Eagles, Browns, Ravens. Like, those games are not gimmies. They don't have they have one gimme game left, and that's
yeah,
the
Dolphins. If you say
that's
so.
It. That's it. That's why I like the Bills' odds right now. The Bills are one game back, and they have three, maybe four gimme games left. I don't think the Patriots have won. The Patriots have won. Dolphins. That's it. Well, no, Cincinnati.
I think the Jets this week is a gimme.
I don't think
so. And I think Cleveland's a gimme.
What is the line on that game, actually?
I think you guys are giving Sam Darnold way too much credit.
I'm not.
Way too much credit.
I'm not at all.
Joe, more so.
I think they just...
But you
I
had
think,
the over on the Jets this year, too.
I think they're... Wait. What do you mean too much credit? I think they just got 1,000 times better quarterback than what they've been playing with.
And they're still not a good football team.
Again, when you say the words that they're the toughest challenge New England has faced this year, that's like saying, okay, the bar has been raised to 6 inches. You must step over this.
Don't forget, Darnold said that he was not feeling it in that Bills game, that he had already had it when he was playing that Bills game.
I'm not
they
doubting
lose
that.
By 1 point, and there were two, three different plays that if Darnold's just a little bit closer on that throw, the Jets win that football game.
Okay, but
and that
I'm
would
talking,
be a really
great.
Good win.
He's,
I'm talking
they're not
right
the Patriots.
Now,
right now, his first game back is New England.
But you're calling it a gimme game. I'm just saying
I think
it's
a gimme
bad.
Game. 100%. I don't think even Darnold at full strength, the Jets are still, to me, not a good football team. I didn't believe in them heading into the season.
What don't you like about them?
I don't like their secondary is one of the worst in the league. I think Adam Gase
is
the worst
great.
Head coach in football.
But their front seven is great.
Their offensive line isn't that strong. They don't really have that many weapons outside of Le'Veon Bell. To me, they're not
a love
good
their,
football
I like their,
team.
I love their weapons. Robbie Le'Veon Anderson, and who? Chris Herndon, and Jameson Crowder is one of the better slot receivers in the
That's
league.
That's not very... That's not appealing.
Honestly, Adam Gase, I don't know why I picked
I can't believe he got a second head coaching job. That, to me, is unbelievable.
Thank you for Jordan Phillips, Adam Gase.
They have a good front four. Like, Quinnen Williams and Leonard Williams are great. Who are their edge rushers? Could you name me an edge rusher on the Jets right now?
The spread on that game this week is... Oh, wait, that's next week. That's why I can't find it. Mm-hmm. That makes sense. So what do you think the Jets are the rest of the season?
Well, what's their record right now? They're 0-4. They could win three or four games this year.
To me, they were a 500 team coming into the year with Darnold. That's what I think about them right now.
Yeah, I didn't.
Then what do you think
they were? They were 6-10, 7-9.
Okay, so one win off.
Well, they're already 0-4, though. They're already in a hole.
Darnold,
to me, they're not winning six
only,
of their
last. Darnold's
last...
only played one of those games, and they almost beat the 4-1
And I don't
Bills.
Really believe in Sam Darnold, so I don't think they're going to get there.
He didn't come up in our quarterback class conversation yesterday, but it's because he really hasn't played this year.
Yeah.
Yeah. So... I've got some help with the help of the Patriots so far looking good. Cincinnati is my gimme, but then I traded that away for Pittsburgh, and then I stupidly picked Atlanta.
I mean, I don't blame you for that. I think a lot of people thought the Falcons would bounce back from all the injuries last year.
Underachieving jerks.
The Patriots are a 9-point favorite at the Jets next week. That's easily the second lowest favorite they've been this year. They were a 6.5, 7-point favorite, I think, against the Bills. Everything else has been double digits.
I think they blow them out of the water.
You want to bet that spread?
Let's
then?
Do it.
Oh boy.
Okay, I'll say that the Jets cover the 9 points.
I say the
next week.
I say they don't.
Okay. All right, we got that. Derek, what do you think about that? Like, if you had to guess, which way does that go? 9 points.
It's New England. They cover.
They're That's winning by at least do. Two touchdowns.
That's what they do. They're jerks.
It's Adam Gase. I'm sorry. I cannot believe.
I don't even
he's
care about Adam Gase. I like Darnold.
The problem is that Bill Belichick has made young quarterbacks' lives a living hell for years, and
for Darnold, 20 years,
Darnold is still a second-year passer.
He's got a lot. Doesn't he? The Patriots play a lot of young quarterbacks.
They do.
They play Darnold. They play Allen. They play Mayfield.
Lamar Jackson.
Lamar Jackson. Mm-hmm. They play
whoever the Dolphins quarterback will be.
Rosen. They play
Josh Rosen.
They play every quarterback from last year's draft class.
Yeah, Deshaun Watson. Even Mahomes. Like they play. I don't think they play. They don't play another veteran. Do you consider Carson Wentz a veteran quarterback?
Yes.
That might be the longest. Or Andy Dalton will be the longest tenured quarterback they play this year.
And that
for
team,
the rest.
And that That's team is Garbo.
And they play Dak Prescott, a.k.a. Alex Smith.
All right, I want to get into the Bills a little bit and how it pertains to the rest of the conference a little bit more. Like the rest of their schedule, the likelihood that they're going to make the playoffs, and matchups. Like that, I think we're about there. Like when their odds look like they're 80%, I think it's about time that we start thinking about like what's beyond this season now. 803-0550 is the phone number. Joe DiBiase and Lou DiBiase. It's Sports Talk Saturday here on WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We know as much as we like our start, we're going to face adversity over 82 games. We have to do a better job of, as an organization, when adversity hits, we play with a little bit more calmness and a little bit find a way to get through those difficult stretches. And so that's why we are bringing these, you know, veteran players in that can help out our group here.
Sabres general manager Jason Botterill, and he's not kidding. Those veteran players are playing, and they are playing a lot, and they're playing well. Marcus Johansson, Colin Miller, really those two in particular. I mean, last year, Botterill brought it up. Johansson plays Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals for Boston. The year before that, Colin Miller's in the Stanley
with
Cup
Finals
for Vegas. So they do have playoff experience. I find it really interesting right now, and I was coming into the year, like even before that, I was the first person on the Ralph Kruger idea. I think I wrote about him on our website like a month and a half before he even got hired, while he was still with Southampton, as an idea. And he gets hired. So in a way, I'm rooting for him because he's like kind of like my guy. You know what I mean? Like I wanted the Sabres to get him. I didn't think it was going to happen, but then it did happen. So I feel like I want that to really work. Stylistically, I love the way they're playing. I think they're playing fast. I think that they're playing, this is meant as a compliment, but they're almost playing like a soccer team. When they go through the neutral zone, 90% of hockey coaches will just say, all right, chip it in, dump it in, and then chase it, and we'll figure it out, come change, whatever.
Right, there's actually like multiple passes being made.
It's, right, well, also, yeah, it seems like chase. When they get into the neutral zone and they see that something's not there, or if they get in trouble, their first instinct is no longer to dump it in. Their instinct is to throw it back to their defenseman, go back into your own end, reset, and then relaunch your attack.
And those defensemen can actually move the puck now,
exactly,
as opposed to years before.
But, so stylistically, I love the way they're playing, and I would change nothing about it. I love it. I think that the player deployment right now is questionable, to say the least. Sobotka still playing on the second line is dumbfounding to me. Like, I don't even know how else to put it. Like, I don't want to just keep beating on a dead horse, because I feel like every time I bring up the Sabres, I have to mention, yeah, but Sobotka's still on the second line. So, like, that's still happening. Young players are beginning to be benched and not be played. I don't understand why Dahlin's not playing more.
Well, Olsson, too, yesterday. VC was playing on the top line for almost the entire third period.
And I'm okay with the concept of what he's trying to do there. He's putting VC on the top line to make it a better defensive line. But when he did it was questionable to me. You're doing that with 10, 11 minutes left in the game. This is a couple games in a row now against Montreal and against Florida where the Sabres have had a lead, and they have completely, in the third period, let their foot off the gas and allowed the other team to get chance after chance after chance and crawl back into the game. And that happened again last night. Part of that maybe was putting a VC in for an Olofsson in the top line. Part of that might be the fact that Dahlin did not play the final 8 minutes of the third period. There are several instances they're kind of head-scratching to me right now. I get that you might trust the veteran guys more, but why is Casey Mittelstadt only playing 8 minutes? 8 minutes? He'd be better suited to play in Rochester.
Not to mention
than
you
play
had
8 minutes on a fourth line right here in Buffalo.
Yeah, and McCabe and Ristolainen continue to play in these key situations where you almost knew it was a matter of time when they could not get the puck out of their own zone. When when the Panthers score with like 10 seconds left, McCabe could not play the puck. He had like 3 opportunities to clear it out, and if that's Joakim Harju, if that's Colin Miller, Dahlin, who, like you said, couldn't get on the ice in the third period, if that's anybody else, the Sabres probably win that game. And to me, it was very head-scratching why, you know, and that's the one problem with Kruger I have so far, is the continued reliance on that pairing more so than the other two.
Especially when this was supposed to be at least a little bit different.
Like, and you don't need to rely on them as much anymore.
I don't know if Ristolainen just casts a magic spell over every coach that comes in here, but
maybe it's just that intimidating.
Every coach comes in here talking about wanting to play him less, and it just doesn't happen. Over and over and over, it just does not happen. And here we go, we're sitting here again, and there's been all this trade speculation around him, and I guess at the end of the day, I've always been curious to see what Rasmus Ristolainen looks like on a second or even a third pair. But I'm starting to maybe come to the reality that it's just not going to happen. For whatever reason, every coach wants to play him big minutes. Every coach wants to look at Ristolainen and say, hey, we're only up one with 10 minutes to go. We're going to start playing him every other shift. I just don't think that makes any sense. I think that even though on paper, you know, Ristolainen is the more physical defenseman, and he would read more like the shutdown guy. Part of that is, and part of the reason I think they get helmed in their own end so much in these last couple games when they're breaking down at the end of third periods, is the fact that you don't have the defensemen on the ice that are good at keeping the puck and carrying the puck and moving it out of your end. That's why you're trapped.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have Joakim Harju out there. You don't have Dahlin out there. Even Colin Miller, he's playing more than these other young guys, but Colin Miller is averaging under 18 minutes of ice time a night right now. That's, you know, that's 6 minutes less than what Ristolainen's averaging. That's 4 minutes less than McCabe is averaging. So Dahlin, 8 minutes and 28 seconds a night for him is inexcusable. That needs to be higher. That number needs to be higher. I don't need him playing, you know, 26, 27 minutes a night like you might hope for him one day, kind of like what Erik Karlsson does. But I need that number to be in the 20s at least.
Yeah, because they're playing super aggressive, it seems like, throughout the entire game. And it's, yeah, they, like you said, it almost reminds me of 2010, where that was that Vezina year for Miller. They would get a one-goal lead, and it feels like they would just take their foot off the gas for almost a period and a half. And it seems like at least the past two games, they're relying solely on their goaltending. I mean, Linus Allmark had to bail them out. I mean, he was the reason, really, they didn't lose that game. And Florida had, 35 shots on. Allmark had an incredible performance once again. I thought he was great. And they can't continue, though, to rely on their goaltending like that and just get dominated in their own zone.
803-0550 is the phone number. I just think that the ice time is my biggest issue with them right now. I would say,
at least Sobotka's not playing in overtime anymore.
That's true. I don't want to sound negative about them because they're 4-0-1. Like, this is the best start to a season they've had in 10 years. It's the best start they've had to a season in 10 years. But the last couple games, we're starting to see them slide back into what we kind of saw last year. So, during the 10-game win streak, what we saw was a lot of one-goal games, overtime victories, shootout victories, and you do that over and over and over. I think that it starts to look like that could come back down to earth, that could be a little bit fluky. Whereas when you're dominating teams like they did in the first two games against Pittsburgh and New Jersey, that makes me think a little bit more about you actually being a legitimately good team. Right now, couple games, they're sliding back. They're sliding back into what they did last year. They're still getting away
with
it.
But not for 3 periods,
because of their goal scoring.
Not for 3 periods, though. Like, I still feel like they had way more scoring chances than the Panthers throughout the first two periods.
They would.
The Panthers were out shooting them, but I consistently saw the Sabres were getting good, not just throwing the puck on net. Like, they were getting quality chances.
They had good stretches. I think it was about a 50-50 game for me through two periods. 5-on-5 scoring chances last night. The Panthers had 53% of them. The Sabres had 47. Expected goals for, the Panthers were at 62%. I think at the end of the day, though, Florida is a better team, and they should be a better team. I really do. Like, I think that they have everything.
I'll tell you what, Bobrovsky
that the Sabres
is
do and more.
Bobrovsky's great. I mean, of course, the real deal, as everybody knows, but he was great yesterday.
If they want to make the playoffs, they have to be better than one of the two teams they just played. And they did beat them both times, but they did give away a point in each of them as well. Montreal and Florida, you're not catching Toronto. You're not going to be better than Boston. You're not going to be better than Tampa. It's just not going to happen. Those teams are elite right now. They're arguably the three best teams in the league, and they're all in the same division. If the Sabres want to make the playoffs, and I think we all want to have that conversation at some point, they need to be better than either Florida or Montreal. And even though they won these last two games, and even though they're 4-0-1, and I'm pretty excited about the start of the season, I'm not sold at all that they're better than Florida, and I'm not sold at all that they're better than Montreal. Because what those two teams are is Florida's a more complete version of this. Like, I think they're almost a combination of Buffalo and Montreal. They have the top-end talent, they have the depth, but they also have the star goaltender. Montreal doesn't have the top-end talent like the Sabres do. They don't have a Dahlin, they don't have an Eichel, but they do have the depth at forward. They do have the depth on their blue line, and they have that star goaltender. So that's why, to me, Montreal is more of a team that I'm thinking more about. I think Florida, even though they're off to a slow start here, they should be a great team. There's no reason they shouldn't be. They have a franchise defenseman in Ekblad. They have a franchise center in Barkov. They have scoring depth. They have Dadonov. They have Huberdeau. They have Trocheck. They've got guys down the middle. They've got Mike Hoffman, who scores the tie game tire last night. They've got a star goaltender in Sergei Bobrovsky. So to me, that's a complete roster that I just don't know if you can compete with. But they did beat them last night. So
well, and it's not like they don't have the pieces to be better than those teams. I mean, that's the thing. I think what they're struggling with right now is situational hockey. It's, again, late in the third period. Who are you relying on? It's not like you, and as we continue to say, it's not like you don't have the defensemen to get out of those situations.
That's
it's just
why
you're
now
not using the right ones.
Right, exactly. Now there's no excuse. There used to be, all right, I understood why you used to play Ristolainen.
Like, you don't want Bogosian out there with Scandella.
Yeah, you don't want to put George's 28 minutes a night.
Right. Or
now,
Cody Franzen.
Yeah, now you've got guys. Now you've got bodies, and you're going to have even more of them. So maybe it'll change a little bit when Montour comes back. 803-0550 is the phone number. Let's go to Jerry and Kenmore. Jerry, you are on with Joe and Lou at Sports Talk Saturday. What's up?
You know what, guys? You're hitting on something that bothered me at least almost every game that we've played in this sequence is the way – and it's the way sport is played nowadays, you know, which is weird to me. Who is the most successful team in professional sports the last 15 years, either league?
New England.
New England. What do they do better than any team in sport?
Everything.
When they're up 28, they're trying to go up 35. They're not taking the air out of the ball. They're not running it. They're not punting it. They do the same things they do to get ahead by 28. And three of the last national championship teams in college football were behind 14 at halftime?
Right.
I mean, this whole mentality in sport of get ahead and then play not to lose is just ridiculous. We have been outshot in the third period, I think, of every game we've played.
Mm-hmm.
We've been ahead. This isn't different hockey to me. It's just they're getting something out of like four players that are putting the puck in that and the power play is clicking on all cylinders. But if you take the power play out of the equation, it's not that different from last year.
I don't completely disagree with you. The
I
one
mean,
thing
they are
I
getting a lot of
there,
production from that other line, the Gergensen, Larson, Okposo line.
The one thing I will disagree with, by the way, is that New England does let the air out of the balls, just saying.
But he's not wrong that, though, the aggressive mentality in sports right now. I mean, you see how many teams are now going for it more consistently on fourth down, like in football. I agree with him that the playing not to lose mentality is it's very frustrating, especially if it's your team, to watch.
I do think that they look a little different to me. They look different to me in the first and second periods. They do. I think that they're playing different. I think that they look faster. I think that 5-on-5, their top six looks better than it did last year. And not the top line itself, but I think they have a second line that is playing well 5-on-5. Actually, they have three lines right now.
Well, I was going to say, did they have a third line last year that's doing what this Gergensen, Larson, Okposo line has been doing? I don't think so.
I think if you take Sobotka off the Johansson and Skinner line, I like that line on 5-on-5. I think, I don't know if it's sustainable, but the Larson, the log line, as we're calling it, is playing great right now. Like, they're 5-on-5, they're tremendous. So, yeah, the power play is clicking, and that's different, but I do think there's more there. Even though I'm still hesitant to call them a good team, like a really good team, I think that we're seeing signs that they could be. And I think Eichel and his crew is doing that. I think that Johansson and Skinner are helping that along. And I think their blue line is helping that along with these other guys that are not Jake McCabe and Rasmus Ristolainen. I think if that at some point you get to a point where the ice time looks a little bit more balanced, Colin Miller's maybe at 20 minutes, and maybe Joki Haru is around 19 minutes. So you up his ice time a little bit. You get Dahlin into the 20s. I think this blue line, even though it's not perfect right now, I think it has the potential to be a really good group. And that's not even mentioning Montour, who's not in the lineup right now, who I think is the best right shot defenseman on this team.
I just want to see more of Joki Haru. Even yesterday, like, he didn't make any splash plays, but there's
He did. He hit Mittelstadt on the breakaway.
Oh, that's right.
That stretch pass.
And just there were so many consistent, you know, great accurate passes in stride in the neutral zone to set up plays. He can move the puck, and that's why, again, I think it's situational coaching is my biggest problem. I don't think it is the same as last year because they do have deep defensemen now that can actually, I mean, again, they don't have a lot of elite defensemen, but they are significantly upgraded in that area, and they do finally have one that they have not had in God knows how long. And you're getting, to me, that Gergensen, Larson, Okposo line, the log line, as we're calling it according to the poll, is, to me, the third line right now. And you weren't getting that production out of a third line last year. And they finally put the puck in the net yesterday. Larson had the goal, and they set up Scandella on the left side for his goal to, you know, score that second one.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have that last year. So I wouldn't agree that it's the same old hockey as we've seen the past few seasons.
Mittelstadt, by the way, is averaging under 10 minutes a night this year.
I mean, he hasn't been great 5-on-5.
Then don't play him here. put him in Rochester.
I mean, you don't have there's any, no. But you banked on him, though. The problem is you didn't go out there and get someone to be what Mittelstadt is now.
But he's playing as a fourth-line center. He's playing the least amount of ice time. That's their fourth line
true,
right now.
Yeah.
They're being deployed as the fourth line. Why have him on a fourth line? Like, I'm a big believer in have the young guys up here. Like, figure out what they are. But if you're going to do it, do it. Don't be not playing him. I'd rather have him be yeah. playing 20 minutes a night as a first line center in Rochester, getting his confidence.
But if he's a liability, you don't, in that fourth line is playing like a top six pairing, you don't just force ice time on the third line.
But
that has not been good since the first
game. That's what
game.
I'm saying then put him in Rochester. There's no point in having him as a fourth line
but
center.
But then, I mean, you don't have him in those power play moments or in overtime
he's
where he should have had a goal.
Power play anyway. He's hardly playing in the power
yeah,
play.
Yeah, but
anyway.
In overtime, he should have had probably the game winner.
Yeah.
There was probably six chances on that one possession. He scores in the shootout. I mean, he was the third guy there. Great hands. So, I mean, you don't have that other option
to
rely
be,
on.
But he shouldn't be here to be a situational player. You're still trying to develop him into your second line center.
But isn't it your logic, though, about Reinhart moving to center, what's best for the team
yes.
more so than what's best for the player?
Yes.
So then he should be here, to me. I'd rather have him as my fourth line guy than...
Nope, I'd rather have Evan Rodriguez. Mm. Right now.
I'd rather
call up C.J. Smith, put Mittelstadt in Rochester, because what more production would I get out of Mittelstadt right now on a fourth line than I'd get out of C.J. Smith? To me, it'd be the same. Maybe there might be a difference in that Smith might be is a better two-way player. So, like, that's the thing. The Mittelstadt line is supposed to be like a scoring line. You're not putting them out there to shut another team down. It's not a defensive line. That's another reason that they're not getting a lot of ice time. 803-0550 is the phone number. We're going to talk to Chad DeDominicus about a lot of this coming up at noon. I got some questions on him and some of the numbers that are going on right now with the Sabres. We want your calls at 803-0550. It's Sports Talk Saturday. Joe DiBiase and Lou DiBiase here on WGR.
Yeah, definitely. It's always nice to be out there. You know, it was a couple of great plays by Hokie backdoor and good finishes by Scandi and Larry.
That is Zemgus Girgensons. Like, you know, we shouldn't be. How surprised should we be that they're playing so well? I mean, there's two former All-Stars on that line.
I mean, in fairness, though, I am. I hated
hey,
that
don't
line
laugh.
Heading into the season.
Don't laugh, Derek. There are two former All-Stars on that line.
That's true. The tank year, right?
Now we just need Larson to make it.
It's so bizarre. Like, he's right.
Yeah. I thought it was hilarious, though, when he was actually in the All-Star game, how out of place he was.
Who?
Girgensons. When everybody yeah. else, nobody's trying, and they're doing all this fun stuff with their hands, and then
well,
Girgensons
an
just
effort player.
Dumping Chase in the entire game.
Oh, yeah. I wish he would have went into the corners hard and just running people over.
Oh,
and,
man.
Yeah, I wasn't a fan of it heading into the year, so I would say I'm surprised that the log line is doing this good.
I'm not
shocked with Oposo because I think health has kind of derailed his Sabres career, and Oposo's kind of like the least surprising to me there.
I think that I'm not surprised that their possession numbers look like they are because what's interesting about what they were last season is they had the puck. Like, they did. They did the job of a fourth line. They had the puck, which basically prevents the other team from scoring. Like, the other team can't score if they always have it. The thing is, they would never do anything with it. Like, they would have the puck for a minute, but they would never get a scoring chance. So, like, the offensive finishing ability wasn't there.
Yeah, now they're generating scoring chances more than almost anybody.
That's what I'm surprised with this year. Oposo, you're right. Like, he's made last night, he makes the great pass on both goals. I think his usage right now is exactly where it should be.
Would you move him up? There's some people asking
if
they should move him up.
I was just about to say this. This is exactly where I think he should be. At this point in his career, the reason I think he's slowed down production-wise is his skating. Like, we saw this happen with Matt Molson. The skating just went.
True.
And I think Okposo, that's starting to happen with him. And I think now that he's playing 12, 13 minutes a night, he's fresher every time he goes out in the ice. He's got a full, you know, like what in the old video games, you got the full bar of energy. I feel like every time Okposo goes out there now, he's got that full bar of energy that makes him look faster, that makes him look quicker. And I think his speed on the ice is higher just because he's not playing as much. So I think the way he's being deployed and that line is being deployed right now is perfect. I wouldn't change it at all. I wouldn't move Okposo up, even though I would acknowledge he would be 100 times better with Skinner and Johansson, I think, than Sabotka.
You said it before the break. Casey Mittelstadt maybe on that second line
maybe.
To see? Like, if you're considering moving him down.
I didn't realize he'd be on his offside, so I don't know if I love that as much as when I said it the first time. But, like, I would try it. I want to try some stuff with Mittelstadt.
Johansson and Skinner have been really good together. I mean, for what big of a liability Sabotka has been, Skinner and Johansson, I mean, even they were on the penalty kill yesterday, and they had the puck for almost a minute and a half of that penalty kill.
I think that second line right now, Johansson, Skinner, and Sobotka. It's like chocolate, peanut butter, and peas. Like, it's just great combination, and then just what are peas
instead
doing
of maybe
here?
Fluff, like, is the third. It's exactly. Peas.
We'll take a time out here. We'll talk some more Sabres with Chad DeDominicus. He's going to join us in the Western Hotline right after this on WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.